Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
And so please join me in prayer right now. Father God, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you want to meet with us, not just on Sunday mornings, Lord, but every moment of our lives, Lord. You want to be included in all the things that we do, Lord, from the smallest to the greatest, Lord. You want to be a part of our walk, our journey. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that is approachable, Lord. You are a God that we can talk to. You're not just out there, Lord. You are here within us. And so, Lord, we thank you for who you are. And Lord, just bless this morning. Be blessed with the praises that come from your people. Amen. Yesterday was a conference, a women's conference, and they had such a great time doing so. And so what I'd like to do now, I think if anybody that was in attendance yesterday, if you have anything that God has stirred in your heart that you would like to mention, we're going to invite you to take this microphone away from me. You use it. But I do want to thank the ladies that spoke. And so thank you. Thank you for, why don't you stand? That way they can see who did it. Everybody can see who did it. So what we have, okay, Dora, what we have is just ladies from our church that God's just moving up and speaking through them. So I'm going to let the ladies take over now. Think about you coming up here. I'm done.
I just want to say that it was the best one I've been to. It was uplifting. It was like being at home. It was so comfortable. And the word was so good, Marianne and Christy. I just really loved it. And I hope everybody else did too.
As they said before, the word was very, very good. It was put into such simple, but yet powerful meaning. And the Lord put it on my heart to give this little symbol that was given out, that we have been given the key to the kingdom. And so I'm keeping that key by my heart to remind me that we can open doors and close doors. And it repressed one of my sisters, we came in and we both had our keys on. So thank you, Lord.
Somebody told you something? Well, good morning, everyone. And yesterday, it was very, very emotional, I was very glad that I was being here. Thank you for your work, you know. And yesterday happened to be something that I didn't expect it, really. You know, I didn't think it was going to happen. And we all get baptized and we all come here. But it's one thing. It's just something that Pastor Henry, I mean, you're very good, but it's something that he can do. It baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And that's something that only Jesus Christ, God, can do that. And that's what he did yesterday to me. And I spoke language, and it was very, feel so wonderful. It feels like a fire coming to me inside. It's like I'm still feeling it. It's inside, and it's a whole different. It feels like all day and all this morning, every time I think about something I want to say. And one time they asked me, when you speak English, do you think in English or you think in Spanish? I'm like, I don't know. You know, it's kind of weird. And I said, it's just like a switch automatically switch from English to Spanish, okay? But when I was thinking and thinking to God, I wasn't thinking Spanish and I wasn't thinking in English. I was thinking in tongue and the language. And I was like, okay, God, you know. And every time I'm thinking, it's like it come out that way, even sometimes. And one of the things that I know about that is that when he have you talk in language in tongue, it's because he wants you to say something about that he doesn't want the devil to know. Only it's a conversation between you and him. And that's, I said, thank you, because I've been asking him to guide me and put me in the right path that I don't know where it is, where he has me. And I always thought this crazy idea that once you turn 50, you're kind of old, you have no other things to do or no other thing to give. And I realized when I turn 50, I have more to give than what I did when I was young. And my brain is really wonderful. And one of the things is, it's being here with all of you, and it has been only one thing, beautiful things has been happening to me. And I say thank you to everyone.
Good things are happening in this church, guys. Good things, wonderful things.
Okay, just want to talk about yesterday. What an amazing time that the ladies had. We had two beautiful speakers who really showed us that we can have the things that we're looking for with Christ, and that we are empowered, we're gifted, and that we have to start using the gifts. I was able to pray from some ladies who said, I want to be renewed. I want to get back into my service to God. I want to be able to minister to people like I used to. And so yesterday was the starting point for many ladies. And because of what you shared, you know, we were able to begin anew and be refreshed and be ready to talk about anything and everything to whomever, by who we are, not by, you know, thinking that we need to be like somebody else. We don't want to be like somebody else. We want to be who Christ made us. And so, you know what? I'm just so thankful to these two ladies that made a difference yesterday by renewing us, restoring us, redeeming us, and by giving us the word and showing us we do have the keys. We have the heart. We have the mind of Christ. We are able to do anything God says, go and do. And so we're going to start seeing women rise even more. We're mighty women. But let me tell you, yesterday, iron sharpens iron. That's what tells us in Proverbs. So we need to be doing that. And I know the men, that's your motto for your scripture for the men's group. And it's going to be for us too, because together, as men and women of God, we're going to rise together. We're going to sharpen each other, and we're going to make a difference. So praise God.
I just want to thank all the women that came. I'm just so blessed that you were here. And, you know, we look at everybody, we see the speakers, we see everybody that came. But the glory and the way what they spoke was only a reflection of who God is. So if we can just say, Lord, have your way with me, and he'll do things that are amazing for us. So all I want to say is I thank him, I praise him, and I want to give him all the glory for yesterday, because we got slain in the spirit was here, we enjoyed fellowship, and I want to invite the rest of the women that haven't been able to come, try to make it, and it'll be in May, the 26th of May, we're having Italian, and it's a potluck, so please join us, and see what God has in store for you. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for doing what you do best.
Okay, I think we're going to step into the communion now. And as Linda steps up to serve communion today, I just want to remind you that the first day of the month, we do corporate communion. And so as the servants pass the elements to you, hold on to them until we all have them in our hands. At the end, pass them to the sides and somebody will pick them up. The other Sundays of the month, we will be having communion available to you at that back table. So if you want to go with yourself or your wife or your family, friend, you can go there and have them on your own. So communion is something that's very important to this church body. So Linda,
okay,
it's all yours.
Good morning again. This church is on fire, and I don't know about you, but I'm feeling the Spirit so strong in this room. It's so amazing that as we worship Him, He enters in. He enters the praises of His people, and we certainly know how to praise. Our worship team, thank you for always, you know, providing the music and for being here to set the stage. And then, of course, our singers, it makes a big difference. And when we enter in, then His presence comes. And with His presence comes many, many things. It's His gifts to us and to each person individually. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So the one thing I want you to do is take a moment. And I want you to imagine you're at the table with Jesus. He's getting ready to tell us about what He wants us to do in remembrance of Him. So just imagine for a moment that as you sit there, that He is ministering to you, that He's touching you in a mighty way, just as He did the disciples. As we take communion today, I want you to think about what He's done for you. Because without the cross, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to share the word. We wouldn't be able to enjoy what He's given us. And He said He would come, and that He came so we would have abundant life. But then after dying on the cross, He said He would send the Comforter. And the Comforter teaches us all things. If you never came in contact with anyone else, and all you had was the Bible, you would be able to know Him. You would feel His presence wherever you went. You'd be able to share His love to others. So it's just, it's really beautiful to know that, you know, He's with us always. And even if you're alone, it doesn't matter, because you can have that relationship with Him, because it's all about you and Him. As a church, we come to encourage one another, to share with one another, to pray for one another, to just be there to help each other grow. But then when you walk out these doors, you have a commission, and you are the one who is to share whatever God has you to share. You are the one to make a difference in somebody's life. So you can't say, I'm not equipped, because when He calls you, He equips you. Amen. Okay, so the purpose of communion is to receive from Christ nourishment, strength, hope, and joy. The bread signifies the body of Christ, which was broken for you. He took on all sin, iniquity, rebellion, disease, grief, and shame. So if you would, please take the bread. Okay, the grape juice represents His blood shed for you to establish a new covenant. It brought you forgiveness of sin and set you apart in holiness. So because of this blood, you are holy. So please take the blood. So I want you to remember the benefits of taking communion. Because going forward in the rest of this service, we bring Him honor, we bring Him praise, we give Him all the glory for anything and everything that He has set our life to. We make a difference for others because we have the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and we can speak His words to whoever we come in contact with, including each other. Remember, be ready to pray for one another. You know, too often we put people on pedestals and we think only this person can pray for me. No, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you can pray for anyone. And if you worry about being eloquent, He will give you the eloquence that's needed. And sometimes it's just a few short words, like help. It could be something that just very, very short and sweet, but makes a difference in whoever you're talking to. So now, please be encouraged. And know that you are His beloved, and you are the one that He has set His heart upon. And so today is a day to go forth in that and to enjoy the fruit of everything that he has for you. Thank you.
You know, I attended the women's thing this weekend. And can I tell you that this week has to have been the hardest week for me. It was just so rough. And you know what? I know that God was preparing me ahead of even what I knew was, because I didn't know what was coming, but he does. Because last week, Terry gave me a word, and it had a lot to do with pushing through barriers. And then Monday, as I was worshiping, I really felt God telling me, there was one of my friends kept coming to my mind. Her name was Patricia. And he kept just telling me, you know, get Patricia to do worship with you. It was like a thing that just kept like, I should really get Patricia to do worship. I should really get her to do it. And on Monday, like everything was, I didn't know anything was going to happen. But come Tuesday, it was like, not great news. Come Wednesday, oh, it was another hit. Come Thursday, oh, there was another hit. And that's the thing. It kind of reminds me of like, you know, I don't know if you ever watched the old cartoons where Wile E. Coyote and stuff, he just keeps like getting hit. And when he stands back up, he gets hit again. And then when he stands back up, it's like pow, again. And I really just like got to this point in my week where I was like, God, I'm not going to that women's thing. I'm going to find somebody to do worship, and I got to take a break, because right now I'm exhausted and I don't know what to do. I really was at this point of just like, I don't know what to do. But can I tell you that it is important to remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Even in those low moments, if you just worship and enjoy the presence of God, it's what the Bible talks about when it talks about peace that passes all understanding. Because it doesn't mean that your whole situation changes. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything just turns right. It just means that something comes over you where God says, I got you. You're okay. I already got the victory for you. I've already seen this coming ahead of time. So I already know what to do. I've already been working in your favor all along. As I just went after God, I was like, you know what? Regardless of how I feel, I'm going to that women's conference. I'm gonna go. And can I tell you that making the choice to go after God and do something even when it felt like that is not what I wanted to do was such a blessing to me. Because I walked in here that morning, came early and had to like get my friend set up so she could do worship. But the truth was is that from the moment she started talking to me, just the conversation was so uplifting. And the truth is, I was actually talking to her about a situation that she was going through, but what I was telling her was speaking to me. Because it was just like, yeah, yeah, like you just said, it's in God's hands. Like you just said, he knows what's happening, so don't worry about it, just keep going after him. Like, it was like, everything I was saying was just confirmation to me. And then, these speakers, oh, these ladies, they brought it. And it was just so good because it was talking about the inheritance that God has already given you, what he's already blessed you with, that you already possess. And it's not something that you have to wait for. It's something that he's waiting for you to take hold of because you already have it. And then Miss Marianne, she said the simplest thing to me. But can I tell you that what she didn't realize was simple. To her, she thought, oh, I don't know if I should say it. But to me, those words meant everything. Because they were confirmation on things that God had already talked to me about, had already given me, had already spoken to. And let me tell you, this is not abnormal for the way that God will work in your own life. This is exactly what is meant for you in your life. that when you go through hard things, that he's already got it taken care of. That when you're struggling, he's already made you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. That he's already lifted you up. It's for you. He's given that to you. That's why this song is so just, if you just, and know it's the simplest words, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But it's words that can mean everything in your moments when you're down. Because it is your strength. Just go after him for what he has for you. Because he will lift you up and he will strengthen you and he will give you joy and peace and he will give you self-control in the moments that you need it. And he will give you the long suffering that you might need to get through some of the things that you're going through. But can I tell you that there is blessing on the other side. There's blessing within it, to be honest. If you just allow him to work within you, you will notice that the trials that you go through are building you up for what he has for you next. They're not punishment. They're not just hard times. They're his moments to say, let me show you what I'm doing in your life. Let me give you the things that I want to give you. Stand on the promises so I can show you that I will come through because I'm here. Oh, come on, church. He's already there. He lives within you. He's just waiting for you to make the time. He's waiting for you to want to go after him so that he can give you so much more.
I just wanted to mention something to everybody. Joy is a choice. And you have to choose joy sometimes. Sometimes you get a lot of heartache in your life. I know I went through a lot when my son passed and when others passed in my family. And sometimes you just have to force yourself to choose that joy. And it makes all the difference because he'll meet you. If you ask him to return that joy, he will. And I do have a poem I wrote recently, and bear with me, it's a long one. But it was written with my son in mind and how he witnessed to others along the way. So this is what I wrote. He didn't seem so special, just an average dude, walking down a road, silent and not rude. But in his silence, looking up, gazing to the sky, his spirit seemed present with his Savior up on high. There was no heavy weights placed upon his back. Instead, his steps were guided and he stayed upon a track, for he was loving Jesus. Another traveler, weary, walking up ahead, met the young man gazing and smiling at life instead and questioned him about the smile upon his face, when in his own life, misery ruled along with dread. The young man, looking down, helped the other up and walked along beside and told him, don't give up. He spoke tenderly while caring about a special friend that always is available on whom he could depend. He spoke the name of Jesus and how he loves us so, how to spend time with the Savior and to tell him all your troubles. Just hand them over and let go. He talked about the Bible, our guidebook to the soul, how his loving word speaks to you, to your heart to make it whole. And thus a seed was planted and an invitation brought. So the weary traveler remembered something he forgot, that in the world and all around, we're weighted down with troubles. But this young man who came beside spoke volumes to his soul. He reached out in a time of need and only planted one small seed, a seed of kindness, and this brought a light upon the weary one, and ultimately taught that this existence isn't just our own. We are here for each other, to walk beside and be a light to every sister and brother before they sink out of sight, to speak about our Savior and that we need him so, to be our compass daily and hold our hand as we grow, to give him all our fears through cloudy days and tears, to focus on Jesus and not ourselves, to cling to him each year. For daily as we walk beside, he is forever there. When he's the center of our lives, we're a witness and can share a special light, a guiding one, to our Father up above. For he wants each of us close and looks at our lives with love. He carries our troubles daily, but we must choose to let go of all the pain and heartache, to hold his hand and know that each small step we continue to take towards him, he holds us close and loves us and will save us from all sin. So reach out, be a witness, be a light in this dark world. Just do your part and daily walk beside each brother and each friend. Let them know of Jesus, on whom they can depend, how they can choose to sup with him and let their troubles cease. For when placed into his nail-scarred hands, inside they will have peace. Jesus died for all of us, the famous and the small, and our job's to step ahead and reach out for it, for his hand. And as you travel onward, you will always have a friend.
I just wanted to let you know that that word was so powerful, that what you, your poem, what you just shared, had the spirit.
Hello?
Okay. If we fill ourselves with this joy and we know the source of the joy, then we will never run dry. That's life and life abundantly, and our cup will spill over. That's the word right there. Our cup will spill. So if you have your joy and you continually fill yourself up, no matter how much you drink, as long as you know the source, where to go, which is that word, which is alive and active in each and every one of us, if we can go to that source and continually fill our cup, we will never run dry. Amen. We will never run dry. Thank you for your word.
I want this to be short and sweet. I wasn't planning on coming up here and saying anything, but God told me to say it because there's somebody in here that is struggling with it. And he wanted me to give you a testimony that God had done for me. And the testimony was that I wanted a horse. And I would tell my husband, my daddy's going to get me a horse. And he's going, yeah. But no, my daddy's going to get me a horse. And then what happens? Somebody gave me a horse, knowing that I wasn't going to be able to keep it. But he still gave me the desire of my heart. And there's nothing too small or too big to ask God. And there's somebody here that's thinking that there is something that's not good enough to ask God, because God doesn't want to hear about that little things. He just wants to hear about your big things. But you know what? He wants to have every part of you. He wants to hear the little things as well as the big things. So all you have to do is say, Daddy, Daddy, just like you. Sometimes we feel like he's a God up in heaven and he's looking down at us. But he's our daddy. He's our daddy and he loves us. So he wants to do the big things for you, but he also wants to do the little things. He wants to be intimate with you because he loves you.
So today we have a special speaker. Abe's going to be bringing the word for us today. So if you just want to give him a hand as he comes up and gives us the word that God gave him.
No drum roll?
We good? Well, you hear me? All right. Well, thank you for inviting me up here. That was nice. So, you know, normally I would not dress this way if I was going to preach, okay? I did this for a reason. I do feel a little silly with these pants. My wife still is not used to them. Like, is there anybody else in here, though, that's, like, has holes in their pants today? Anybody? I mean, besides the ones that are supposed to be there, okay? No? Nobody? Oh. Yeah? Yeah? Well, look it. We are the two holiest people in here, then. Right? Yeah. So, he's excited about that. But, you know, it's something where, you know, we think about that word holy. You know, what do you think about? You know, is it just somebody that's good, moral, pure, walking on clouds, has a halo and all that? I think that's what we usually think, right? So what I want to talk about today is actually what kind of like the larger, more general concept of being holy is. So before we get started, if you would, pray with me, please. Lord, I just ask that you be with us today. You make your word alive to us so it changes our lives. Lord, that it's a lasting effect so that we are closer to you, we know you more, and we love you more, Lord, and that we love people more. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I just ask that you only let me speak what you want me to speak. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. So I was talking about being holy and what it means. It's probably a lot of you know that already know this, but the word holy, when in reference to us, oftentimes means set apart, okay? It doesn't mean just good, pure, upright, which that's a part of it, but it's not all of it. But we're set apart. If you look in the Old Testament and you look at Israel and how God wanted his people to be set apart, it was like through every part of their life, right? I mean, they had, you look in Deuteronomy, you look at Leviticus, and you see all these things about how they, you know, spent their time, how they looked, what they ate. It was all regulated, right? And that you would know somebody was a follower of God because of the way they lived their lives. So let's look at this here. It's in 1 Peter, it's chapter 1, this is verses 13 to 16. And it says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. So, kind of like I said before, I mean, I would normally come up here, nice pants, button-up shirt. I would not look like this. I feel, like I said, a little silly. But it's for a reason. It's like I look different than other people that have been up here before, including myself. So, you know, there's something unique set apart, right? Well, how are we set apart? First of all, those of us that believe we have the Holy Spirit, right?
Yep.
Okay. Do we have a God that heals?
Yeah.
Do we have a God that provides? Do we have a God that makes everything work together for our good?
Yeah.
Okay. And we tend to talk about those things a lot, right? So what do those things focus on?
Jesus.
Us. Okay, because we do have a God that does all that for us. And those are good things. And those are things that we should know. And those are things that we should actually believe in and hold as truths. But we only have part of the whole plan that God has for us if we just seek out those things. Because we were given all those things for a reason. So our focus isn't on ourselves, but our focus can be on God's plan and God's will. You know, if we're not worried about how we're going to pay our bills, if we're not worried about if we're going to be healed or not, we could focus solely on God and what his will is. So, you know, I'll tell you this. You know, after hearing Rebecca about the week she had, I was thinking, is like, that's kind of my week. It was rough. I'll tell you, like, I probably got 3 to 4 hours of sleep every night for the entire week. My work starts on a Tuesday. And, you know, where I live, they're actually paving the road. And I don't know if you're familiar with McGee Ranch Road, but, like, it's the only road that gets you out. So, like, I had to make sure that I was out of there before 6 a.m. so that I wouldn't get stuck behind the pilot car. Well, I got stuck behind the pilot car on Tuesday, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be a little late to work. I'm on the freeway, just past Valencia. Guess what comes up behind me? Lights. I'm like, okay, I'm in the left lane. He just wants me to get over. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm okay. And then he follows me into the other lane. I'm like, oh, no, he wants me. So I pull over and he tells me, he's like, your brake light's out. Your left brake light. I had two other ones. But the left brake light was out, and the front headlamp was out, one of them, on the same side. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to be later to work. I show up to work, and then they're supposed to, I found out that on Sunday, which I'm not there for, or Monday, that there's a meeting scheduled at 7:30, which, guess what? I was late for. So, like, you know, there's all these things that compounded, right? Not to mention, because of my profession, I actually have to go to my supervisor and say, look, I got this warning, right, from the cop. So it wasn't a good start to the day, right? Okay, but, you know, when I showed up there, I also found out I had a coworker that was told on Monday that their position would be ending because their grant was ending. Okay, so, like, if I'm wrapped up in my world about how bad that start was, or about how bad it was up to that point, you know, I wouldn't have that love, that moment to say, you know what, I need to take a moment out to make sure you're going to be okay, right? There's a lot of times where it's like a lot less extreme than that, but we can get wrapped up in our own lives to the point of where we're excluding everybody else. We're just trying to figure ourselves out when we completely forget to do what God's asked us to do. So, you know, I will say too, because one of the greatest lacks of joy and peace is going to be us just trying to focus on ourselves. I mean, that's a popular thing to say these days, right? Well, I just need to focus on me right now. I just need to learn to love myself first, which, you know, we do need to do that. Okay. To a point. We need to know who God calls us to be. But the thing is if we're excluding everybody else, we're missing the whole mission of God. Look at Jesus when he came to earth. Okay, what was it he did while he was here? You know, what was he looking to sell, like he was like, I don't know, just like building up wealth and things for himself while he was here? I mean, he built up a kingdom. But ultimately, he was seeking out what the Father's will was, right? Yep. He was okay with, you know, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't know what we got to eat tonight. He was okay with that because he knew that he was always going to be taken care of and that his ultimate mission was the one that God, his Father, had set him on. So let's look at this. Ephesians 2, and this is verse 10, and this is one of my favorite verses, but it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then there's Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Titus 2:11 to 14 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Okay, so even if you think somebody's your enemy, to all people, you help to offer that salvation to them. You treat them well. You bless them. Don't curse them. And it says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So you can see with all those scriptures that God is, he had created us, right? Yep. Now from those last few verses, what did he create us for? His will, his purpose, to do good, right? Amen. So, you know, that's one of the things that actually sets us apart more than anything else, more than knowing, you know, that God's going to take care of us, is that we live our lives for God, okay? Gosh. I thought I was done talking about this. All right. The last 2.5 years, we've had the greatest opportunity to show God's love. But we got caught up with what we wanted. You know, the way we see everything around us right now, we say what we know the answer is, the right person, the right things happening. But it's okay to have wants. It's okay to have desires. But if it makes you act contrary to the character of God, that's sin. Plain and simple. The sad thing I've been seeing is everywhere I go without even asking. Okay, things I see, you know, I keep hearing that in a lot of places, church attendance is down. And it's kind of like, why is that? Because I don't know about you, but, you know, I want to see people saved. I want to see people who know what true peace is, what true joy is. But we need to make sure that we're focusing on the right things. And you know what? Just like, you know, I think about, like, I started driving my wife's car to work instead of my truck. Because it's cheaper, right? Because gas price is crazy. So what should I be doing? Should I be complaining about somebody that might be responsible about the gas price? Or should I be praying to God, just cover my bills, I'll be okay? Or God, change some stuff, make it happen, please. Or should I be slandering somebody, making fun of somebody? I shouldn't. You know, like I said, we had the greatest opportunity this last 2.5 years to show people that there is a better way, that you can have hope, you can have joy. You don't need to be concerned with how you're going to live. You don't need to be concerned with what your life is going to look like, because God has you in his hands. You're secure. You're taken care of. So I want to look at Matthew. This is chapter 26, and this is verse 36 to 39. And this is before he went on the cross. And, you know, around Easter time, I like to look at this because I always see something different in there. But it says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Now, you know who we're talking about here, right? We're talking about Jesus. Could you imagine him being sorrowful and troubled? So, you know, there are things like the flesh will do to us where we can feel sorrowful and troubled. Even Jesus, when he took on that nature of man, felt those things. But as God, he didn't give in to those things. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further. It says, going on a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So ultimately, even though he knew he was going to face this torture, this ridicule, that he was going to give up his life on the cross, he still prayed that not his will, but the Father's will be done. You know, today, as Christians, there's a lot of times where we're asked, you know, God asks us to do something. And it's just, it's even so much less than that, right? Because I don't know if I've ever faced anything like that. I mean, obviously, because I'm standing here. But, you know, if we were to, we're being asked of so much less a lot of times. And we might kind of pass that up because, you know, it's going to take my time. It's going to take my money, whatever, right? And we need to look at it from a different perspective. Is like, you know what? Look at all that God has given. Everything I have, even my time, God has given to me. Everything. So I should freely give it back to him. Freely. So Romans 8:6, it says this. It says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. So, you know, in scripture, it tells us how to live that life of peace, right? How we're to get joy. We were just talking about it. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? So, you know, we talk about these things, but the thing about the kingdom is kind of weird. Like if you don't know scripture, there's a lot of things that you're gonna miss out on. But the kingdom of God is foolish to the world, right? All that knowledge is foolish to the world. So what sounds like the thing that would bring you peace? What kind of things do you think would bring you peace? Like making sure you don't have to worry about bills, right? Making sure you had a nice place to live, That your health was taken care of.
You get to work on time.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of things logically. It seems like, okay, if I do this, then I'll have this, right? Okay, the kingdom of God is different. Okay. You know, there are so many things where, so many times where he's asked for us to just follow his will, go along with it, do what he's asked. He's prepared things in advance for us to do. We talked about that, right? And to the world, it sounds like either you're not going to be able to sleep in, which would be nice, right? you know, you're going to have to do work. Might be sore afterwards. And that, you know, it's really just going to be a drain on you more than anything. But I will tell you, you know, I didn't realize this until I started serving, being like that guy Terry back there, where I started doing slides. Something as simple as that. There was a hole in me. There was something in me where I was just like, life? Isn't there more than this? You know, I was always lacking something. I couldn't put my finger on it. And it's because I wasn't serving God. I love God. I came to church. I attended. But I didn't do anything for God. You know, there's something I like to think of is like, you know, my occupation isn't who I am, but it's who God called me to be. Is who I am, right? Because the thing is like, that's just all background. Of course, I want to just do the job God wants me to do, right? I don't want to end up in something I'm not supposed to be in. But I want to be doing whatever God's called me to do, because you will see that there is a peace. Like if you don't have peace, if it's not a normal thing for you, find out if there's something that God wants you to do. And just keep seeking him out, seeking him out, seeking him out until you actually find it. Don't just pray once, maybe twice, three times and give up. But keep searching. Keep searching. Because God will show up. He is faithful. Now, you know, it's kind of talking about, you know, there's been a lot of churches where it seems like it's the attendance has declined, right? And it's just this thing where it's like, you know, I don't believe it, but it makes you think like, is the world winning, right? And we talk about revival from time to time, and we talk about, you know, what it's going to take to make that happen. And, you know, if we go back to the logic of, just being in the flesh and our mind, we think like if we heal people, it's like, you know, people are going to see those signs. They're going to be amazed by them. They'll come in, right? Now, if we look in the Bible, you know, it could get you a crowd, but it didn't always mean everybody stuck with you. Okay. If we look at, just look at Israel. Okay. They saw all these plagues happen. All of them. They got out of Egypt. They saw the Red Sea split. They followed a cloud and a pillar of fire. They were fed. But did they still wander? Fall short? Did they still seek out other gods? They did. Now, the craziest thing is, you know, how do we prove to people that God is real? And, you know, it goes back to the garden. There's this, it sounds strange, but it also sounds like that makes sense. Now, it says this here in John chapter 17. And this is when Jesus was praying. And it's verse 20. And it says, my prayer is not for them alone. And that's in reference to the disciples. It says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Okay. So how do we prove that God sent Jesus to this earth, that Jesus showed up on earth? Because, I mean, how do we prove that he was sent to earth? It's said it. That we are one, as Jesus and the Father are one. Unity. Okay? That doesn't mean we all have to be the same. Okay, we can even differ on some things that we think about in the Bible. Okay? There's certain things that we cannot differ on. All right? Like in who Jesus is. But unity. So it goes on. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me. So did you catch that already? You already gave it to us. So that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So people want to know they're loved? I would say yes. And how do we do that? Unity. So what does that mean for us, right? It says in Galatians chapter 6, and this is verses 7 through 10. And it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I know I want to reap eternal life, right? Yes. So we can't be led by our flesh. Okay. What our desires are, you know, there are desires, like, you know, I like to play video games. It's okay to do those types of things. Okay. There's not something saying if it's godly or not, but if I do it to the detriment of doing God's will, then yeah, that's a problem. That's a desire that's taking me away towards destruction because it's taking me away from God. All right. And that goes with anything that takes you away from God. And it says, let us not become weary in doing good. So here we are again. We're supposed to be doing good, right? Okay, if we're just living life for ourselves, concerned with ourselves, we're not necessarily doing good. Okay, there's more involved than just us, me, you. It's us together. Unity, right? It says, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, and I love this verse right here, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Okay, how many people is that? That's all the people, right? And especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Okay? So, you know what? A lot of times, you know, my decision on doing something for the church, I try not to just base that on me. I'm like, okay, well, God, if I go to church, let's say I'm like super tired right now. let's say I'm super tired, but I show up to church. Maybe there's somebody I could pray for, right? Yep. Maybe there's slides that I'm going to have to click. Maybe there's somebody I just need to get a word of encouragement. Okay, there's all these things that when we come to church, it's not we shouldn't have a consumer mentality. Like, what am I going to get from God today? Okay, what kind of word am I going to get? What kind of healing am I going to get? What am I going to get? Okay, like I said, there's no problem with that because God's going to give that to us, right? But the thing is if we are doing it to a detriment of God's will, God's purpose, that's a problem. We have to focus on each other. Like one another is important. It happens a lot in the Bible, right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Okay? One another, right?
Like us praying for you right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm praying for you, brother.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. So, obeying the truth. That's the first part of that. Okay? So how do we even know what the truth is? What is the truth?
The word.
The word. Jesus, right? So the word, like we have a whole book of the truth. Okay? So read it, obey it. Okay? And we're not doing these things because we're worried about breaking laws. Okay? Because there's a lot of people that think, oh, you know, I heard this one person is like, I just see God up there. He's like, he's got that belt ready. He's just ready to just pack, right? Yeah. And it's like, no, God is not doing that.
No.
It's just like if I told Ben, you know, don't touch that. That's hot, right? Goes over the stove. What, you know, am I doing it? So I'm ready. It's like, oh, he's going to touch it. And now I'm going to spank him. No, I'm telling him because I don't want him to be hurt.
Amen.
Okay. So the same thing goes with all the commands and everything in the scripture, okay? He doesn't want us to get hurt. But also, more importantly, he wants us to know how to love each other properly, okay? What we're supposed to say, how we're supposed to act, that's the biggest action. So John chapter 13, this is verse 34 and 35. And it says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So what do you think we're supposed to do?
Love.
All right. Love one another. Okay. Loving one another doesn't happen unless we're around someone else to be that another. Okay. There's a lot of people that will, you know, think that they've met their quota, I guess, of like Christian-y stuff for the day because they watched something on TV or, you know, they saw something on YouTube, listened to a sermon. Okay. Sermons are good. All right. I listen to them all the time while I'm at work. But, you know, there's nothing that, number one, changes my time reading in scripture and having things revealed to me, because it's there's a bigger change that happens than just somebody speaking it to you. Plus, somebody can say something wrong to you and you not know it unless you know the word. So like everything I'm saying today, don't just take my word for it. Go back into scripture and see if what I'm saying, especially in context, is true. Okay. But you know, the other part besides coming in to hear somebody speak is that, you know, I get to come over here and say, hey, Aaron, hey. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah? How was your week, you know? Hey, Daniel, how's it going? How was your week, you know? Do you need me to pray for you? You need me to do something for you, help you out? You need somewhere to ship something? Oscar knows. No, but... but, you know, the one another is important because the way that we love each other is completely different than like some club getting together, right? Some club that doesn't have God. Okay, because it's different. We are what? Set apart, right? We're the church, right? It's not this building, it's us together. So let's look at this. What did I read last year? John, okay. So Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Okay, the big thing about this is, like I was talking about before, is like, what if I feel tired? Because, you know, there was a time if I was tired, I was not going to church. Okay. Not here, Pastor. So, because the thing that changed is me knowing God better. Like, you know what? I want to be around God's people. I want to, you know, experience things of God, with God, for God, you know, and that happens in abundance when you're among believers, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's not something I do out of like a religious practice. Like, you know, I got to check off a box, or if I do this, I get it a gold star or something. Like, it's because I love it. And that's something that changes in you when you understand what God's will is. So let's look at this here. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Okay, do we notice the theme here yet? It says, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know, also in Romans 12, it talks about us being a living sacrifice. Okay? So right here, it's talking about Christ who gave himself up as a sacrifice to God, right? Now, us as believers, we should give of ourselves sacrificially, right? And a lot of people hear that and they think, oh, you just want my money. That's the least of it, okay? But I will say that, you know, God gave you that money in the first place. But the thing is, the thing that's more precious is your involvement, like your time. Because, you know, it's easy to just give money and be done with it, right? But time actually means you have to interact with people, right? So I would say that, you know, just if you haven't read Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, you really should study it, understand it, because it talks about who we are as a group of believers, as a church, and how we're supposed to act with one another. So now, one thing I said was action was important, right? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says this. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Okay, because it's easy for me to say I love God. It's a lot more for me to say, to show that I love God, right? Like today, like I said, I was a little tired. I'm feeling rejuvenated now. Should I jump like faster, you know? Come on. 2 feet. Yeah, but I'm feeling better now. But the thing is like our words, easy to give, but what's going to really make somebody believe what you're saying is true is your actions. Okay. If somebody told me I'm valued, because I've heard that before, I'm like, okay, that's nice. But then if I find out they put some effort into, you know, showing that they value me, then I'll really believe it. Right. So like if I love God, I'm going to put some effort in to show I love God.
You're doing it.
Thank you. So, you know, it's also this thing where we're not doing these things because we think it's going to, like, get us to heaven. Okay, there's nothing we could do. Nothing. There's nothing we could do to make us, like, look better to God because of what Jesus already did for us. But we do these things because we love God. And we gotta come from it from that mindset. That, you know, if I love somebody, like I love my wife, I took off vacation days so she can go to a concert in Phoenix. So I could watch my kid. That's the job right there. But you know what? I would do that. And I am doing that because I love her, right? And there's other things that I will do for her because I love her. Not because I'm like, well, if I do this, maybe I'll get this in return. Maybe I'll get to buy some shoes or something. So, but, let's look at this. And I did mention something earlier where, you know, I said, you know, we're all believers. We all have the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay, well, I mean, if you're not a believer, come talk to somebody, you know, that is after, because you really should be. It's awesome. You know, the whole eternal life thing and, you know, gifts of spirit. But the thing that comes along with the Holy Spirit, if you read that, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, it'll tell you that you're given a gift, right? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Okay? So, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's pretty open. It's right there. I mean, what are we given the manifestation of the Spirit, you know, the gift for? Is it for ourselves? It's for the common good, right? Yeah? So, you know, I just ask that you find out whatever that gift is, and same deal. Like if, you know, what I was talking about, if you don't have that peace that you've been searching for, like it just fades away. Like it's there, it's gone, it's there, it's gone. Same deal. Ask God for what your gift is. What is my gift? What is my gift? Keep going and going and going until you find it. Keep searching. Keep trying to find it with all of your heart. And then use it for the common good. Because it's going to come back to also that other thing where I just mentioned. You're going to find that peace that you may not have right now. So just remember that, you know, it's fine to gain an understanding of who we are and what God's going to do for us. But we need to make sure that the focus isn't entirely on us. And even that the focus is entirely on other people. Because the thing is if we put our focus on God, he's going to give us the right balance of all of that. Because we're only going to be wanting to do what God wants us to do. So, you know, if you want that fulfilling life, if you want that peace, you want that joy, there's a scripture that says this. I'm not going to read the scripture. I'm just going to read what it's talking about. But it says, but I want to say that, you know, living a fulfilling life will come when we focus on what is pure, noble, admirable, lovely, and right. And that's when our focus is on God. So, let's close in prayer. God, I just ask that, Lord, this word plants a seed, a lasting seed that grows into something fruitful for everyone, including myself, God. And I ask that we find a way to love one another in a greater way, that we are concerned about your will over everything else. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right. Yeah.
Praise God. Let's all stand. Hey, how many of you know speaking in front of a bunch of folks is not the easiest thing you can do, as you can tell. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. But I believe that God has called us to raise ministers for the kingdom of God. How many say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, and Abe is a youth pastor in this church. And praise God, let's give him a hand for the message he's brought to us. And I want to just reiterate something that it says, but now. Is that what the word of God says? I mean, do you have your sheet up? It says, but now, right? Everybody say, but now.
But now.
But now. You must be holy in everything you do. How many say amen to that? Amen. See, God is calling for the church to be holy in the things that he be set apart, to be noticeable to the world around us. How many say amen to that? Amen. And I'll tell you what, when the moment we start doing that, the glory of God will begin to be seen in the earth and more and more and more. How many say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hey, we want to thank you for what your word, for the work that you've done. Amen. Hallelujah. Let everybody stretch your hand towards Abe. We're going to pray for him just for a minute. Hallelujah. Folks, I believe that God has his will for this body, for everything going on in this church. And I believe that God is going to begin to bring these young people into the youth group that Abe has been praying and Micaiah have been praying for. Micaiah, would you get up here real quick? Run. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Stand right here, bro. Stand right there. Grab your wife. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Father, put your hand towards them. Father, we bring Abe and Micaiah before you, Father. And God, you have seen the faithfulness of their heart. Father God, you have seen how they've looked and watched and seen how things grow and then begin to decrease and grow again. Father, we are asking today, Father, that you would in a way only you can do, Father, begin to grow this ministry stronger and stronger, Father, because this ministry will minister to the hearts of the young people. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, do you agree? Say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hey, hug them and give them a, tell them thanks for all they do. Amen. Hallelujah. Rosie and I, we're not going to be here next week. My son is in California, and he wants his mom to come over to his house for Mother's Day. How many say amen to that? Next week is Mother's Day. Next week is Mother's Day. Pastor John's going to be ministering next week. And so we want you to, hey, invite some friends, amen, for Mother's Day. We got some gifts for you for Mother's Day. How is that? Not for the guys, for moms, okay? We got gifts for you, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will give even more gifts to you as you worship in the things of God, amen? So we're going to dismiss you right now. We're going to pray, Father, that God will bless your week. How many say amen? We've had some folks that had some rough week this week. How many say amen? Hallelujah. But they're growing. Going through things. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We ask you, Father God, that you would bless your people. Father, whatever you have planned for them for this week, Father, we pray that your Spirit would lead them and guide them, speak to them in everything that they do. Father God, for your kingdom. God, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth in your people as it is in heaven, Father. We thank you for it, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 You are dismissed. Thank you for coming to Sarita House of Worship. Amen. We love you, and we hope to see you again soon. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.